This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The Bernstein and Harris Show.
There will be on the non-relaxed brain show no self-congratulations.
Who is your dork of the weekend?
I'm going to go with Cubs ownership. And the reason for that is all we're hearing out of Chicago, the north side, is we're not going to be involved in any of the big free agents. We're going to just kind of do some other things. They're trying to trade Cody Bellinger. I get that. But where are the Cubs?
That was Ken Rosenthal in the wake. Yeah, that was so technically not last year. It was in the wake of the Cody Bellinger trade. I guess it was technically last year. It's weird, man. I don't acknowledge last year being 2024 until, like, March. I'm like, nah, it's still the other day to me. That's just how I feel.
March? So we have to wait 12 more days?
Yeah, December was the other day for me.
I was thinking you were saying, like, June. But
No.
We're gonna
not
do,
that
we need to wait 12 more days. Okay.
Also, I'm dying laughing at people texting in saying Hawk was going to check on the whale.
I'm going downstairs. I'm going.
Then he sets the headset down. Still one of my favorite moments.
I'm going down.
What are you doing, whale? I'm going to go check on him.
No! No!
Hawk is... We could do like AI Hawk where it's just recorded sayings. Oh, man. That might be something. AI Hawk. You know what's not something? Ken Rosenthal's takedown of Cubs ownership. Yet again, this time happening in The Athletic. It was released yesterday. The headline is about Alex Bregman. Makes sense. Rosenthal. When the Red Sox drafted Alex Bergman in 2012. And it's a funny story about getting his name misspelled. Plus other MLB notes. We know Alex Bregman went to the Red Sox for a three-year deal. I knew it was going to be 3 years. Just saying. The Red Sox, though, I think one big piece of this to remember is the flack that they got from their fan base last offseason for failing. They knew they had to do something in order to keep up, and they're in a division that incentivizes that simply by proximity and the competitive nature. So it was nice to see the Red Sox step up for their fan base, knowing how bad it was last year and knowing that the standard they're held to. So for them to do this, I think, was pretty significant.
Yes, and they have the Orioles, too.
Right.
It's not just the Yankees.
Right. I mean, exactly. And the Orioles are making waves. By the way, deep cut here, but in one of my, like, weird research moments, I noticed that the Orioles don't have any money committed on the books, according to SpotRack, for 2028. Like, $0.
Deeper cut? I don't think they care about winning.
Deeper cut? You might be right.
They care about developing their prospects, winning 100 games, and then getting into the playoffs and getting beat by the teams that
they care about the system rather than the result. Like, they're really into the system. Although, I don't know, because Mike Elias was part of that Houston front office, and I definitely think he would like to be what the Astros now are.
I mean, I thought they made the most sense. Even though I did predict that Groshay would go to the Red Sox, I thought the Orioles made the most sense.
Yeah, I think you're not alone in that. They end up getting Corbin Burnes, of course. But if they had the two of them.
No, he's gone.
Right. And that was it. It was a rental. Right.
So you knew they weren't going to pay for. They should have stepped up and traded for Garrett Crochet and then called AJ Preller in November and said, can we get Dylan Cease?
I'm going to check on him. God, that would have been amazing. And we're still trying to figure out what happens to Cease in all of this, I think. And I wonder how much of it is the backstory of what's going on with the Seidler family. And
it's a big part of it.
Yeah, that is a big piece of it to me. But the subhead in this story is Cubs flailing and flailing. And it starts with a quote from Theo Epstein. Rosenthal says, Theo Epstein famously used the phrase, if not now, when, to justify the Cubs' trade for Aroldis Chapman during the 2016 season. Epstein, then the Cubs' president of baseball operations, was trying to end a 108-year title drought. Now, we know that we know how that ended. But he makes the comparison here to illustrate, this is the time. You have Kyle Tucker for 1 year. You have a one-year window. That's what you're working with here. And he said the team, after years of exerting financial discipline and making a win-now trade for Kyle Tucker, had every reason to revive Epstein's mantra from 2016 in its pursuit of Alex Bregman. Instead, owner Tom Ricketts authorized an offer that was only Bregman's fourth highest in total guaranteed money. 4 years, $115 million, with opt-outs after the second and third years, according to Patrick Mooney. Shout out again, NBC Sports Chicago. So he reports also that the Cubs in 2023 were in top five in both revenue and franchise value, according to Forbes. But their current estimated luxury tax payroll ranks 14th, according to Baseball Prospectus. Rosenthal says they potentially are wasting what will likely be their only season with Tucker, who would have benefited from the addition of Bregman to the lineup. If Ricketts couldn't land Bregman on a short deal, why should anyone expect him to keep Tucker long term?
Yeah, I think the end of that is speculative. I do. I do think that there's, you can line up the dots and say, okay, let's connect these because they're not going to spend 10 years, $400 million when they've never given a $200 million contract. Bruce Levine this morning with Ruthie and David said that number is going to start with a four for Kyle Tucker.
Believe Bruce.
As it should.
AI Hawk is starting to take shape.
As it should. In terms of the Bregman deal, I don't understand. Okay, so the deferred money talk last week while you were in Thailand, the deferred money talk was a big part of the conversation why the Cubs would be anti-deferrals when a lot of teams seem to be getting guys because of that.
Yeah, and time those with the length of the TV contracts, friends.
Correct. I don't understand why they wouldn't give him an opt-out after year one. I why not? If you're like if this is a win or go home type year for the Cubs, it lines up with Kyle Tucker. If Alex Bregman has a year and he wants to retest free agency and you want to get out from underneath everything as you head into this very questionable future of Major League Baseball after 2026,
right?
Fine, but what's with the opt out after year two? Maybe they were thinking 2027 there, and if Kyle walks, I don't know. I don't understand the opt out part of it. Why not give him the opt out?
There have been so many discussions surrounding Bregman's potential deal. You know, first it was the conceptual deal he turned down from the Astros,
yeah,
which we're still trying to figure out whether or not that is concrete, right? That's been...
Sounds like 6 for $156 was on the table.
But we don't know to what extent, because everybody then asked, well, if that was the case, then why did he say no?
Because he's got Boris. That's why.
But Boris knows what's going on. He sat down next to Jed Hoyer last year and talked about it.
But he never signs guys very rarely, and I'm talking really rare, sign extensions prior to going to free agency. I mean, you can't name five because he thinks, and for the most part, he's won, but we're seeing more of the Bregman, Pete Alonso type situations where these guys turn down an offer like Pete Alonso did with the Mets.
The home team, yeah.
Cost him $100 million more. Now he's got 2 for $54 with an opt-out after year one. So these guys are going to have to retest the market on shakier terms next offseason when the future of Major League Baseball is in question.
The piece of this that makes it really compelling is how much Boris sets the market as well.
When you see all these guys, I mean, Dylan Cease, Luis Robert, change agencies, and everyone's going to board. If you were a baseball player,
Dallas Keuchel did it.
If you were a Major League Baseball player, who would be your agent?
Right, Scott Boris.
100%.
Maybe Excel.
Maybe.
Excel does nice work.
I would do Boris. I would. He usually, 90% of the time, he gets exactly what he wants. I mean, no one was giving Chris Bryant 7 for 186 or whatever he got with Colorado. Horrific deal.
For Horrific the team, deal. But for, not for Chris Bryant.
Exactly.
There was the Jake Arrieta 78-page dossier or something along those lines. But again, he's doing the most to get what he can for his clients.
And the high-end guys usually do succeed. Maybe you can say this wasn't Alex Bregman getting what he wants. I would disagree.
I mean, if you're Cody Bellinger, take out the Cubs piece of it. If you're Cody Bellinger, after putting in the year that you did with the Cubs, then you get paid the best of what you can get paid, and now you're a New York Yankee. Are you mad at it?
No. I mean, all of these guys want the same thing. They want 7 years, 210 plus, but
my issue is I want to be able to say that about the Cubs.
I know.
I want to hear somebody say, if you're a Cub, are you mad at it?
I understand, which is why I pushed back when they traded Cody Bellinger. Like, why can't you do both? Why can't you have two nice toys?
You and me both.
Why can't you?
The argument has been, oh, well, there's PCA, and then you've got a lot of log jam in the outfield.
That's
okay,
valid.
But that's exactly what the Dodgers do. That's how you get to this point.
It's valid. The position thing was valid.
Show me more, PCA. This is your year. This is your time.
But this is what I was talking about earlier. The Cubs have a lot of guys who are, this is your year, this is your time. Matt Shaw, Miguel Amaya, PCA, Michael Busch. Now, can he take the next step and become a 25 home run hitting first baseman?
If he does, that solves a lot of your problems.
What if he takes a step back? Which, by the way, very realistic.
Happens.
So that's four. That's four hitters in your lineup. Position players.
You're hoping to exceed the mean.
Hope and faith. And it's in a division where every other team is pretty much waving the white flag.
After
with the exception of the Brewers.
But even they did somewhat. You get rid of Devin Williams the way you did.
100%.
You know what you're doing.
Is there
you're
any question, though, that Nestor Cortez is going to come here and win 15 games? Because I just feel like he will. Man. Because that's what they do. The Brewers are coached so well, and their system works. I'm not going to. Now, do I expect them to take a step back? 100%. The Cubs have no excuses in 2025 to win this. Literally none.
The frustrating piece of it is knowing what all the Cubs did when Rosenthal brings up 2016, for example, thinking that that was a team built to win multiple titles.
They were. They were built.
And
to
you
win.
Knew that some players were rentals. I'm not arguing that piece. But instead, the team which has been sustainable and the standard bearer in the division has been the Brewers. What they've done in the playoffs shows that they need more.
Yeah, the cut.
But if you're just going to interpret division with division.
And that's like the Cubs. We should be sitting here in Chicago saying, we are frustrated because the Cubs keep coming up short in the postseason, not coming up short to get to the postseason.
Correct.
And we're going into 2025, and everyone's handing them the title. Pecota, all the projections, all of the big pundits. Everyone's, the Cubs are the favorites to win the division. All of the sports books are saying so. That none of that means anything.
You're also betting if Shohei Ohtani duplicates the season Shohei Imanaga duplicates the season that he had,
you'd also,
and based on first half, second half performance, you could argue that that will happen.
Do the Cubs have a true ace?
I would say it's Shota.
I would say they have a couple of really good number twos.
We got. I think Justin Steele
is probably the guy. But my point, they don't have no doubt about it.
Stopper.
Done deal. They have a very deep rotation.
I've been saying that you want two things if you really want to compete. You got to have a stopper and you got to have boppers.
Yep.
I need multiple boppers. I need one sure-handed stopper.
Like right now, if you do the Cubs lineup, top to bottom, your default leadoff hitter is Ian Happ. It's really the only guy you have. Then number two hitter, is it Kyle Tucker?
I can't. No, I don't. I want Kyle Tucker with
that extra bat,
at least
bat in
two
the
ducks on the pond. Yeah.
Okay. So Saya at two.
Yes.
Saya at two. Kyle Tucker at three. Who's four?
Four. Yeah.
Michael Busch.
Have no choice, right?
Right. Dansby Swanson five. Nico six.
So Dansby Swanson, your $177 million man, is now your number five hitter, which means, in theory, that he could be coming up with a lot of two out situations.
Nico
well.
Six.
That's when it gets spicy. Yeah, Nico six.
Shaw seventh,
and then Amaya.
Amaya eight. PCA nine.
Right.
A lot of questions from five down.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you don't have somebody turning over the lineup.
And your bench
the two
is
out
incomplete.
Hitting, the two-out hitting and runners in scoring position discussion, when you put it that way, it's already starting to illustrate itself as to why you would be worried. I'm not saying there's no reason to say, oh, this is terrible. I'm not saying that, but it does give you pause.
Your bench is incomplete, too. You don't have a backup first baseman. You don't have a backup center fielder.
Talkman is a White Sox.
Talkman's a White Sox. He would have been, yeah. You don't have a backup third baseman.
That's where it gets hairy.
You don't have a backup at two positions. All three of those, you don't have a first, a center, or a third. And who are those guys? Young.
And the additional piece of this is, we know that Craig Counsell does what so well to get to the playoffs, manage his bench. So he can't be happy about this.
I don't. The Cubs are not done, but they're not going to spend the 150 or whatever, the $30 million that they were going to spend on Bregman. That's not going to be spent before the season.
To have quality depth, you have to spend.
I mean, we've heard Justin Turner's name. He's not really a third baseman anymore.
No, hasn't
he's
really.
He's more of
had
a first base. Yeah. He's more of a DH/first base. You have a DH. Can you get him enough reps to make sense of $7 to $8? I think Bruce said $7 million is what he's asking for. He makes a lot of sense for this team, I think.
7-7-3. You really need PCA to be lead off and be able to have those quality ABs.
Yeah,
but yes, I mean
PCA
that,
had a 286 on base last
if
year.
If you have your ideal Cubs lineup where everybody is what you think they could be,
then yes, he's not earned that yet. He had a 310 on base in the second half. While better, that needs to be at least like a 335 clip for me to have him hit first.
Yeah, the Cubs on base percentage overall as a team was really concerning last season.
I'm not saying,
and like, then the OPS thusly was also really, like, the slug was very concerning.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. You know, Wrigley played small.
When Mike Talkman was leading your team in slug for a significant portion of the first half, you know, like a month at least.
Yeah. That's April, he carried.
Yeah.
That first, if I were drawing up ideally what a Cubs lineup would look like, it would have PCA 1, Ian Happ 2, Kyle Tucker three, and then say it goes to four.
I still want Kyle Tucker to bat cleanup, man.
I don't. But I want him to have an extra at bat late in the game.
One fewer at bat, yeah.
I would argue he's gonna hit, like you can make a real valid argument for two.
Yeah, I mean,
but it feels
in
better.
The new world order. Yes.
It feels better with having a disciplined hitter like Happ hitting two, Tucker hitting three, Say hitting four. Now I'm going okay.
Well, Say based on again theoretical Cubs lineup. Based on what you want him to be, he should be your four hitter.
Right, but you don't have the dudes. And you don't, and again, you can't put a guy at the leadoff spot that you want to see be there versus the guy who's earned the right to be there. You know what I mean? Like, he, in theory, PCA is your leadoff hitter, but he's not there yet.
No.
He's not there yet.
And I'm not necessarily like mad about it yet.
He shouldn't, no.
But this year is going to be a big deal for him.
You should be mad about the fact that we're sitting here arguing who should be this guy, that guy.
You're arguing 6 through 9.
Five through nine.
Yeah, 5 through 9.
I mean,
if Dansby Swanson is healthy, then that solves a lot of your problems, hopefully.
I hope Tony Andreacki can answer some of these questions for us.
Yeah, he can. And guess what? He's next on the score.
He gone.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey. I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Just
obviously
kidding.
Disappointed. Great players, great fit. We definitely recognize the opportunity. I was really thankful to Tom and Todd and Laura. You know, I spent a lot of time talking about pursuit of him, and you know, they were willing to sort of green light us pushing our budget. His free agency, ultimately, like, they got a deal in structure and in amount that we couldn't match.
Jed Hoyer talking about Alex Bregman. It's not Marshall and Dan. Instead, you have Ryan McGuffey and Layla Rahimi in for them on The Scores. We broadcast live from The Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And I want to let you know, DePaul men's basketball is having a ticket drop for their game against St. John's this Wednesday night at Wintrust Arena. Go to DePaulBlueDemons.com/promo and then enter code CANES25, C-A-N-E-S. To claim up to 4 free tickets and discounts, because it's presented by Raising Cane's in Lincoln Park. Offer valid while supplies last. Could go for some Raising Cane's right now.
Definitely. Bring extra sauce.
Yeah.
And anybody want to drop that off with a Texas toast? We're in.
Speak it into existence, Ryan McGuffey.
All day.
We're working on getting Tony Andracki to join us. Things are fluid over in Mesa as spring training is now underway.
Are they? Are they trying to add to their bench? Where do you have the Cubs on your list of best off seasons?
We asked this question amongst us on the thread last night. Other than the Dodgers, who you think has had the best off season in baseball?
Yep. I have the Red Sox number one.
I said Mets and Yankees.
I have Mets and Yankees 2 and 3.
I hate that I said Mets and Yankees.
They got Juan Soto, though. You have to put the Mets in there.
And the way the Yankees...
And they got him from the Yankees.
And the way the Yankees responded as to try to backstop their team, Cody Bellinger among it, but also getting Devin Williams, for example, the way they tried
Max Fried.
Exactly.
I mean, they didn't quit.
Yes, they did not quit. Brian Cashman boys don't quit. Aaron Boone's boys don't quit.
Look, you can sit there and pout and say you didn't get the guy, or you keep going. And are those players making up for the loss of Juan Soto? No, but the Yankees are going to be they're going to be right there.
They still have, we haven't even mentioned Aaron Judge.
Who?
Exactly.
I mean, they have injury issues with Giancarlo Stanton. Well, surprise, as they always do, he might not be ready for the opener. But again, that's why they went out and got Cody. They also, like under the radar, Paul Goldschmidt.
Right.
Like, I know he had a bad year last year and he's getting old, but like,
yeah,
is there any doubt that Paul Goldschmidt's going to hit 30 home runs next year for the Yankees?
Probably yeah, let's see what happens. You find the fountain of youth when you
Cubs
have
are fourth
protection
for me, though.
In the lineup.
Cubs are fourth.
Kyle Tucker's big. Like, that is the game changer. Now joining us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline is our friend Tony Andracki.
Former teammate. Keeping our NBC Chicago sports days going.
I know. This is a big old reunion. CircaLasVegas.com. Tony, it's in Arizona. We appreciate you joining us. I'm going to ask you that question, Tony. When it comes to teams that have had good off seasons outside of the Dodgers, how do you rank the Cubs on that list?
Oh, good question. And first off, great to talk to you guys, too. I love this little reunion that we got going on.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, the Dodgers clearly won. I think the Mets had a great offseason, too. Anytime you can get Juan Soto like that and bring back Pete Alonso is pretty huge. So maybe I'd go like those two teams, one and two, and I think the Cubs have a real shot at kind of being up there in third. I mean, if they had gotten Bregman, I would have said absolutely they might have even had a shot at the second best offseason. But I think they accomplished exactly what they went out, what they set out to do at the start of the offseason. Jed sat up there in early October and said they have to repair the bullpen, and which they did with a bunch of guys, and including Ryan Pressly, and they have to – he used the term consolidation of war, but essentially what he means is a star player, and they got that in Kyle Tucker in a pretty big trade, a trade we haven't seen the Cubs make like that in a long time, too. So I think with all of that, I mean, they are a much improved team than they were at the end of last year, and I think at this time last year as well. So I think they had a really good offseason. I don't quite know how I would rank them behind like the Dodgers and Mets, but I think they have a good shot at being third best in baseball in terms of the offseason.
I'm glad you said that, Tony, because I have them fourth. I have the Red Sox one. I have Red Sox, Mets, Yankees, Cubs. Now, the difference is that the podium, like, you need a ladder to get to me, like where the Red Sox are versus where the Cubs are. But the fact that the Cubs are in the conversation, I don't think fans are seeing that because they're so, oh, they're not spending enough money. They had to trade Cody Bellinger. They just they lost out on Bregman. They're cheap. I think they went out and did two that they had to get a star player. They got it in Kyle Tucker, and I don't think fans understand how good he is just yet because there's not been a lot of people watching Houston Astros baseball here, and they had to get a closer. They had to. If they would have went into the season with a bunch of quantity over quality there, which I do think they have a lot of quantity, and I think they have a lot of quality in the bullpen, and we'll figure out how that sort shakes itself out after spring training. But like Porter Hodge is a dude. I just don't think he's ready for the ninth inning yet. I think having a veteran like Pressly there to be that guy in the ninth and having him be either the eighth or the seventh inning guy is a really big deal. I don't think fans are truly understanding how good Kyle Tucker is. It doesn't mean you can't be upset that they missed out on Alex Bregman or that they haven't. Maybe there's too much. We've been talking about hope and faith, and we'll get to that here in a minute. But I do think the Cubs have had a really good offseason, to your point.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think you touched on the bullpen, and I'm with you. I think they had to get a guy with closing experience. Like, before trading for Pressly, the leader in the clubhouse in terms of MLB saves was Porter Hodge with 9. I mean, that was – they have so many guys and guys who have experience – but not all of those guys have pitched in the ninth inning. And for the most part, they haven't. And some of the guys on their roster, like the Tyson Millers and Nate Pearsons, are guys who just transitioned into pitching into the bullpen and haven't done it for that long and don't have this like long runway and long track record of success. Even a guy like Eli Morgan, who was awesome with the Guardians last year, Cubs traded for it. He hasn't pitched in the ninth inning. He doesn't have a ton of experience. And Julian Merriweather, you know, was really good 2 years ago, but has been injured and missed almost all of last season and missed a bunch of time with the Blue Jays as well. So it's a group that absolutely needed that veteran experience, and I think Presley did it. And I think just, like, yes, Tucker absolutely is going to be a big factor, but it's elsewhere around the rest of the roster. Like, there's an opening now for a guy like Matt Shaw at third base. Sure, getting Alex Bregman would have been amazing there and would have made this lineup look better, but to give a top prospect in baseball who finished last year in AAA an opportunity to come impact the big league level, I think, is huge. And then they improved across the board. I mean, Carson Kelly's an improvement at catcher. You know, I don't want to necessarily say backup because he could very well split the time with Miguel Amaya 50-50. But then the guy like John Birdie, who can play kind of all over. And then Matthew Boyd, Colin Ray, who can impact the rotation, or Ray maybe even has some experience in the bullpen. He can be a long man there. I just think they added so much pitching depth and so much quality pitching depth that they raised their floor this offseason. So they raised their ceiling by getting a guy like Tucker, but they raised their floor so much this offseason because the depth is way, way better than it was last year. And that's what I think they'll be able to get through 162 because of that. And they'll be able to outlast every other team in the NL Central, I think. So, like, they have the star power, but also when slumps happen and when injuries strike, I think they have enough quality guys that they could bring up from the minors or shift into different roles, and they still have a good 26-man roster.
Yeah, that's the concern, I think, is how are they going to withstand as far as depth? And when you look at the teams like the Habs and the Dodgers, which depth doesn't even begin to describe, I feel like they have two whole baseball teams that are both playoff contenders on one single roster. But that, to me, is a big piece of this, is trying to figure out the bench also, Tony. Like, I don't know. There's still so many people available, relatively speaking, for this time of year. Like, there still could be moves made, but the bench is a concern.
Yeah, it is. I think it's a question mark, absolutely, because, like, right now, John Birdie is the backup first baseman on the roster behind Michael Busch, and Cubs are very confident in what Busch can bring this year. He, you know, got some Rookie of the Year votes last year. He was certainly in the conversation for a while. They believe he could be a Gold Glover, and they also liked him against left-handed pitchers, so it's not like a platoon situation. But John Birdie has basically never played first base except for in the playoffs last year with the Yankees, where he was learning from Anthony Rizzo on the fly in the middle of the postseason. So other than that, they don't really have a backup first baseman on the roster. And then, yeah, Rule 5 draft pick Gage Workman right now would be on the 26-man roster if they chose to keep him around. And then a guy like Alexander Canario doesn't have options. He's a young outfielder who they can't send him back down to the minor leagues. So is he up and kind of in a platoon role? You know, they already have four outfielders that are going to be playing every day with, say, looking to be the everyday DH. So I don't know how Canario would kind of fit in there or how that would all work. But I agree, Layla. I think the bench is absolutely a question mark for the Cubs this spring, and how they piece all of these guys together. Because they also traded for Vidal Brujan, the former top prospect, and he can play all over the place as well. So I think a question mark if Nico Horner's ready to go right away when they play, you know, a month from now in Japan, or if he's not, you know, is a guy like Brujan play second, or maybe even John Birdie. And then if a guy like Shaw does make the opening day roster, which as of right now I'm expecting him to.
All right, so I've been talking this whole day so far about, well, really going back weeks on Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce, hope and faith. It's like the favorite two words in Chicago sports, because we've had so much disappointment that we are just hoping and then relying on sometimes players unfairly. So if I bring up the names Miguel Amaya, Michael Busch, PCA, Matt Shaw to you, and we're assuming that they're going to be four of your nine spots, are you concerned at all? Because you're asking every one of those guys to take a major step forward.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think there is some level of concern, certainly. I think Busch was kind of up and down last year. At times he was, especially early in the season, he like carried the offense on a whole West Coast road trip. I remember that. And then there were other times that he struggled. Most of those other times that he struggled was at home, where Wrigley played like the second best pitcher's park in all of baseball last year, and was particularly tough on lefties. So his home road splits were pretty extreme last year. I will say the Cubs are extremely confident in Busch, but it wouldn't be the first time that we saw a guy have a sophomore slump, right, after a promising rookie season. And same with PCA. PCA's already showed us, you know, he's had times the first 17 games or whatever it was in 23 when he came up. And really the whole like first half that he was up last year, he struggled offensively and turned things around. Same with Amaya. The whole first half last year, I mean, he was one of the worst catchers in baseball, statistically speaking. So there's definitely question marks, but I think the Cubs really believe in these guys and understand, you know, what they can be moving forward. And when guys like Curl Armstrong and Bush, when they are good defenders, and Amaya has also drawn rave reviews for how he handles the pitching staff and the defensive work he does behind the plate, that I think they understand that there's a floor and that offense will come and go. And that's what they hope a guy like Kyle Tucker will just help raise the floor of everybody, but also the ceiling. When you have a star player that you can lean on in times when four or five other guys in your lineup are slumping all at once, or young guys are going through growing pains, I think that's what they were really hoping with. And knowing that, you know, guys like Happ and then Seiya and Dansby and Nico are around them to help provide that balance. And then that's going back to what I mentioned with Carson Kelly. I mean, that's the backup plan, kind of, right? Like, he and Amaya may end up splitting the time 50-50. It could be like a hot hand type of thing where one guy plays two out of three games because he's really going well. But if Amaya does struggle like that, that's where I think you have a guy like Carson Kelly. Maybe he ends up playing two-thirds of the time or even three-quarters of it because Amaya's struggles have kind of reared their head again. So I think the Cubs have the backup options. They have the depth. They have somebody at third if Shaw isn't able to go right away, or, you know, has to be sent down, like we've seen so many other prospects do on both sides of town just over the last few years. Come up to the big leagues, struggle, go back down to the minors, then come back up and prove that they deserve here and belong here. I think they'd feel good about the depth, but I'm with you, Guff. I think that there's an element of, like, hope that the Cubs are playing into with some of these guys being such a big part of this lineup.
Tony, what do you have on the docket for Marquee this week and coming up?
Really just continue Cubs coverage. So we have shows today, including some Kyle Tucker one-on-one that we had up and a little bit of a hitting demo. So show today and Wednesday. And then, I mean, the big one is games starting this week already for the Cubs, which is crazy to think about. So first one Friday on our air. Super pumped to be able to have that and watch live baseball games. I can't believe it's already on Friday, to be honest. There's snow on the ground outside all Chicago, but Friday we're going to be airing a Cubs game live from Arizona.
Yeah, Dad is also on the score, so I appreciate you bringing it up. And, of course, the Cubs Weekly podcast, I'm always a fan of that as well. Tony and Drackey, I know we're going to bug you a lot during spring training. We're looking forward to it.
You're the best, pal.
No problem. Thanks, guys. Good to chat.
Thanks, Tony. That was Tony and Drackey of Marquee Sports Network. Like he said, you can
catch it. It feels like SNL 50. Like it's our version of SNL 50.
Who else can we get on the reunion show?
I can't wait for the post party.
Call up Sierra.
I mean, we got another hour and 15. Like, let's
Pat
get let's
Boyle
get,
for Four
get
Nations.
A,
yeah.
Yeah, let's get a
Art
couple.
Chuck.
Hey, we can get all three of those probably in the next hour 15.
Chris Kamka.
Keep it going.
This is the quiet time in Sports Talk Radio where, you know, you're after the NFL, you're before baseball, you're in the break in the NBA, and I thought it was a good time to bring up something I did do in my travels. I finally watched the movie about the Von Erich brothers, The Iron Claw.
And?
We haven't had a good sports movie in a long time.
Ooh.
And I'm going to explain why this one is something that I recommend for all sports fans next on The Score.
Bernstein and Harris.
Really excited for you and Marshall together.
Middays 10 till 2.
Love Marshall, love his work, man, so I'm excited for that pairing.
In my travels, I came back yesterday and finally watched a movie that I had to prepare myself to watch. It was first mentioned to me by Lawrence Holmes. It came out at the end of 2022, really kind of gained some steam at the beginning of 23, called The Iron Claw. The Iron Claw is a move that was perfected by the Von Erich family of wrestlers. They famous for a legacy that aired, that really came from my hometown in Denton, Texas. And the reason I didn't want to watch The Iron Claw was emotionally, I didn't know that I wanted to. The way we speak about Kerry Von Erich, Fritz Von Erich, Kevin Von Erich, and the entire Von Erich family is one of tall tale and folklore and horrible, horrible tragedy. And it is really hard to watch a movie about something that meant so much to so many people. The Iron Claw could not have been more spot on in how they depicted North Texas, where I'm from, in the 80s and 90s, and how the Von Erichs really inspired so many people. They were larger than life. What was compelling to me about the movie was that Kevin Von Erich, who is the oldest of the Von Erich brothers, who is still alive and thankfully with us, didn't know that the movie was being made until social media let him know.
Really?
And he has since approved of the movie. If you don't know about the Von Erich brothers, Fritz Von Erich was their dad. He was a wrestler in Texas in the 60s, known for a move called the Iron Claw. And, you know, wrestlers all have their signature moves. There were six Von Erich brothers. There was Jack Jr., who passed away from a horrible accident involving electrocution and water. And he was a child. There's Kevin Von Erich, who's still with us. There's Cary Von Erich, who committed suicide. And a lot of people know him for his success of being not just a wrestler, but a college athlete at the University of Houston, the WWE. There was also Chris Von Erich, who wasn't even mentioned because there was too much tragedy for even a Hollywood movie. Chris Von Erich had committed suicide as well, unfortunately. There was also David Von Erich, who was supposed to get the title belt, but he had enteritis or ruptured intestine and died in Japan.
My God.
Yeah, six brothers. And it is just a horrible, horrible story. And it's hard to even put into words. Mike Von Erich, who also died as well, and he had had a horrible accident related to his shoulder surgery that ended up leading ultimately to his death. And they illustrate the Von Erich family curse, which is something that we also talk about. It's just so hard to put into words the sadness that people felt loving these brothers and this family so much and appreciating the entertainment that they put on and what they meant to people and how it was a whole family who was successful and being larger than life and then seeing it end in the way that it did.
Yeah. I mean, look, I haven't seen the movie in full, but seeing the pressure that they had on them as you know, the father wanted to kind of build the brand as the greatest wrestling family of all time. That's a lot.
And the Hollywood story, you have to have some sort of villain, right? Or an antagonist. Oh, yeah. Cary says that Fritz was not the pressure-setting dad that he's made out to be in the movie. I think this is more a case of emulation. And he was on the Chris Jericho podcast, Kevin was, talking about what he thought really, unfortunately, hurt his siblings. And he said, drugs.
Sure.
Because what are you taking, you know, when you're dealing with constant pain?
Yep.
How is it messing with your head?
That's how you get paid, to perform, right?
What's the pressure you're putting on themselves?
And we saw that even in the depiction of Mickey Rourke and The Wrestler, too, right?
Right, and that is a big part of it. But just, Zac Efron was... I couldn't explain more just the tone with which he carried this and the brilliance of his performance, because it was so absolutely correct. The accent, the way he talked to his dad, the way he was so dutiful, it just really transported me. And what I thought of was, I mean, there were little details, like when they zoomed in on the Von Erich on the wrestling boots, it just sent me back to a place mentally that I hadn't been. And they were my parents' age. So, you know, I remember my late grandparents talking about how much they love the Von Erichs and the sadness with which people had for this, because, you know, where else do you celebrate larger than life athletes who succeeded in all sports and football and wrestling than in Texas?
Yep.
The depiction of the sportatorium and the horseshoe over the door of the locker room, that's something that, like, in high school, we had a horseshoe over the door of our locker room for good luck, always pointing up, not down, because the luck trips out. And Denton, the way they pictured Denton was just absolutely true to where it was. You know, the prairie and mixed with the trees. And it's the story that I think we don't get a lot of good sports movies anymore. And as sad as it is, I think it's worth watching just to, if you like wrestling at all, or you like storytelling at all, their story is so sad. You know. And the fact that it's so sad that they couldn't even include it all in a Hollywood story.
Crazy. I see the Von Erich, the sons of Kevin Von Erich are now a famous or popular tag team duo.
That's right. And I think it really is emulating, right?
Yeah.
You grow up, you're a child, you don't know how your brain forms from 0 to 2, and you're watching this amazing family do these wonderful things, and I just wonder if, you know, would it have been different today? I'd like to think it was, but just the hold with which they had the entire area and how people just love them. Kerry Von Erich, to me, it's just one of the most sad stories. How much people loved them and the really the happiness that they brought so many homes every day just performing.
Yeah, and this is happening in the 80s, right? Like at the height of like Hulk Hogan, the WWF.
It's what inspired Stone Cold Steve Austin,
drugs,
who also went to school in Denton, Texas.
Performance enhancing drugs.
Ric Flair is depicted in this
part
as well.
Of this. Yep, the big part of that. Who's gonna battle, or I guess fight Ric Flair, that they wanted to step up and do that. So different era.
And it is really hard to explain. And Kerry could have been an Olympian, but you know, that was at a time of unrest where Moscow was hosting the Olympics at the time. It is heartbreaking. It is a heartbreaking story. And I really didn't want to watch it until I was emotionally ready, because it did really make me think of the sadness of my family talking about it. Just the pure empathy, knowing how much joy they did bring to people.
Hits home a little bit differently when it is home, right?
It was something about seeing the name Von Erich on those boots and just knowing they couldn't have been more correct. And that's what made it so uncanny. So if you're looking for something to watch, I strongly recommend checking out The Iron Claw. I know it's streaming. I'm just not sure where. Please don't get on a 15-hour flight to do it like I did. But for those of us who appreciated wrestling and the sportatorium and the pure theater that it is, I will always have a place in my heart for the Von Erich family, because they had a place in my family's heart. So we've got more coming up next on The Score.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.